Hello, this is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And for many of us, the holiday season doesn't truly begin until TSO takes the stage. Beginning with small theaters in 1999, and I was there at the Beacon in New York City, and evolving into two massive touring groups that each play two shows a day from mid-November through December, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra is a mainstay of holiday traditions across the country. With the pandemic, this year is a little different as the band will do a live stream on December 18th. And here to talk about it is guitarist and musical director Al Petrelli. Welcome, Al.
Good to hear your voice, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing great. So let's start with this December 18th live stream. Once it became obvious that you guys weren't going to tour, was this an obvious choice or did it take a little bit of convincing?
Well, I don't know if it was an obvious choice, but it took absolutely no convincing once the decision was made by the O'Neill family and our managers. They had to cancel the tour. I'm going to say it was about mid-August when we finally had to pull the plug on this thing. We've been kind of holding our breath, you know, watching the news, listening to what's going on. And by August, they just said, listen, this is not going to happen this year. And needless to say, everybody was heartbroken. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something I've been doing for 25, 26 years now. This is my tradition. This is what my children grew up knowing. This is just who I am, you know. So it was kind of like, it really put me back on my heels. Just like, oh my God, we've never canceled the show.
Yeah.
We've never been late to a show, you know? I mean, I broke my leg in the middle of a show, and I kept playing with a broken leg and a torn ACL. You don't know how to lay down to quit, Whatever. But, so, anyway, not too long after the conversation of cancellation occurred, the O'Neill family and our managers said, well, we're going to do a live stream. I was like, absolutely. I have no idea what that means to count me in. Where do I plug in? Just give me a band to play with. And we're good, you know? And like you said, dude, on December 18th, 8 p.m. East Coast time, for the first time ever, we're going to bring Christmas Eve and other stories to everyone's living room. Yeah. So, you know, looking at the glass half full, you guys get to stay home, no traffic, no parking headaches, no babysitters, dog sitters, nothing. Stay in your pajamas, sit in front of the fireplace, grab the remote control, turn your TV up loud and proud, and let us bring the show to you in the safety of your homes. That's all that matters to us, is everybody just stay safe. Yeah. Let's get over this thing already.
And, you know, the people, the players you have for this show, it's a really good mix of the East and the West. How was the lineup chosen, or was it just a matter of finding who's available and can be there?
Well, I think some of it was a no-brainer. You know, as you had just said, that you were there at the Beacon show in 99, right?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, so you were there to see myself, Chris Caffrey, Jeff Clay, and Johnny Lee Middleton.
Yeah, the original band, the Sabotage lineup.
The original band.
Yep.
So for the first time, literally in 21 years, the four of us are getting to play this music again together. So I'm stoked. I'm so excited to, you know, to walk back on a stage with these guys. You know, whether it's in front of 15,000 people or 15 HD cameras, I get to play with these guys again. So we're all psyched about that. Derek Wieland on keyboards is the musical director for the East Coast. So there was no brainer to have Derek come in and kind of, you know, just kind of, you know, we divvy up the tasks to get the band ready. And then it was a matter of, okay, well, if each, you know, lead singer on either coast is available and willing to do this, let's go with them. This way, you know, we can cover for each other. Once it's in-house, once we get into the bubble of our rehearsal and our production facility down in Nashville, that's it. We're not leaving. You can't come and go. So we got to be able to, you know, cover each other, watch each other's backs, cover for each other. So I'm really proud of the lineup. I'm really excited because it's given me the opportunity, again, to work with Jeff and Chris for the first time in decades, but also some of the singers from the other side. You know, I'm just a huge fan of theirs as well. So this is going to be just great across the board as far as that goes.
Yeah, and it's funny. You mentioned Derek Wieland, and, you know, Derek and yourself are listed as the musical directors. What exactly does that entail for each group?
Well, listen. I've been Paul's MD from the jump, you know. My job has always been to protect his musical integrity, in the realms of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So when I get a band together, my job is to make sure that the band replicates the music in a correct fashion. And if we want to add something to the the live excitement of it, to come up with parts that would be, you know, genre-specific and responsible to this type of music, okay? Mm-hmm. And Paul trusted me to take his band out. He goes, listen, you just go do it and go crush it, and I'll see you in January, you know? Derek Wieland was the keyboard player in my band for a bunch of years. I mean, he's a classically trained pianist. He's got a master's degree from Juilliard, you know, and the dude can play, to say the least, you know. So when they needed a musical director on the East, it was a no-brainer. I mean, I hated losing him because he's so amazing and we became such great friends, but he's so incredibly talented and became a good band leader. You know, he watched me, you know, just deal with people, and he learned, he's very, obviously he speaks the language very fluently, but he also had to be aware that, well, there's some people that don't speak the language, so you have to learn to speak 50 dialects of English when it comes to musicians, you know what I mean?
That's for sure.
You know, and Derek kills it, man. So he's going to watch out what he needs to look. You know, we're going to kind of divvy up the tasks, and together, you know, again, having two MDs, and he and I work so well together on MDs, it's going to be just a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, when you're dealing with a band this good, you know, an MD, it's kind of like being the conductor of an orchestra. You know, raise your hands, they all get ready, and then, you know, say go. And everything in between, they're great at. You know, so I just start them and stop them, and that's it.
And you know, a couple days ago, Chris Caffrey, a guitarist on the East here, pointed out that, you know, with a month to go until the event at that time, there were already 1.7 million subscribers. I mean, does it ever amaze you with just the level of rabid popularity that this band has?
It always amazes me, but to be honest with you, I don't read into any of that stuff. I don't go on Facebook or, you know, any of that. I just refuse to pay attention to it because my task at hand is to make sure that the band is better than it was last year, which is, you know, it's a hard thing to do, man, because they crushed it last year, you know. If I start reading into the popularity of the subscribers, that's going to take my focus away from what I need to do. It's kind of like when you get into the ring and you're fighting. Mm-hmm. You know, and the opponent is staring on the other end of the ring, and I'm an amateur boxer. So when I'm looking at some guy who wants to, like, run over and punch me in the face and take my head off, the last thing I'm thinking about is, you know, what I'm cooking for dinner.
Right.
You know what I mean? I may not be able to eat. I'll be, you know, maybe through a straw. So, you know, listen, a lot of these people, they're looking at it, they're excited, that's awesome. I can't think of that. What I'm thinking about is every note being executed perfectly. And then when we're done, you know, maybe, you know, say, somebody tell me how many, you know, people watch this. Oh, cool. You know, like, I don't know how many people show up to the shows until, like, somebody, you know, emails me, like, a billboard thing where, you know, we sold, like, a million tickets. Like, really? Yeah. Awesome.
And for the show, I mean, TSO is known for just a complete over-the-top live experience. Is it going to be the same kind of thing for this live stream?
Well, it's going to be a different version of the same thing, different is all we have right now.
Right.
There's going to be all the, you know, a lot of the production will be there, you know, lasers, video content, just cool lighting effects. I mean, you know, Brian Hartley, who's been on LD for decades now, I mean, you know, again, you adapt, you overcome, and improvise. That's what Paul O'Neill taught all of us.
Yeah.
You know, you figure out a way to make it the best it could be. You saw us at the Beacon, right?
Yep.
We had one 24-foot box truck, two buses, and a fog machine.
Yeah, I was going to say, the fog machine was...
You know, 21 years.
Yeah.
Say again?
Yeah, the fog machine was like the only special effect that night at the Beacon. I'll never forget.
Yeah, the fog machine and the story itself and the fact that we pulled it off. You know, it's never been done before. So everything we've done for 25 years has been adapting, overcoming, and improvising.
Yeah.
You know, there was no script to this. Nobody had ever done it before. It's all unprecedented. So this year, I promise you it'll be an amazing show. This is the show. And what's amazing about it is we only got one swing at the plate at this.
Yeah,
you know, there's no overdubs for the band. There's no post production. You know, so I we don't have the luxury of saying, "Well, the opening night was really good, but let's tweak a couple things to tomorrow's soundcheck." That's it. Done.
And now, last year marked the 20 consecutive years that TSO has been on the road, and the last few years haven't been easy. And you know, there was the devastating loss of founder and creative force Paul O'Neill. You know, the tragic death of my good buddy Dave Z, Russ Allen's injury that kept him off of last year's tour. Does part of you feel that, like, after 20 years, in a way, this is kind of a much-needed break that allows all of you to kind of regroup and refocus for the future?
Hell no. Oh, hell no, dude. Did we need a break? No, man. Bad things happen.
Yeah.
You know? license, okay? But again, going back to Paul's mantra, you adapt, you overcome, you improvise. Now, you know, it's not Skittles and rainbows from sunrise to sunset to everybody all the time. And you have to learn to deal with adversity. You have to learn to, when you get knocked down in the ring, to stand back up. Everybody can lay down, you know, because how that hurt. Plus it hurt. Get up, you know. So losing Paul, you know, I mean, on a personal level, he's my best friend. He was my big brother. He was my boss. He was my mentor. You know, I watched him create a universe and was just proud to be a guest in his world, you know. For his wife and his child, I couldn't imagine what that loss is, you know. Losing Dave Z, again, what a horrible, senseless tragedy. I mean, you know, but this is what happens in life. You know, and everybody's going to mourn these losses forever. I mean, there will always be an empty hole in my heart. You know, I will miss Paul. I miss Paul every moment, every day. You know, I walk around my house. Everything's a reminder of him. I look at my children, you know, who loved him and he loved them. So, listen, you never, it's like when my father died, you know, 40 years ago. You never get over it.
Right.
But you still got to get up in the morning and, you know, go to work and do your thing and live your life now. Because as we know, because of this pandemic, now there's no guarantee for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Did we need a break? No. Were we given a break? Yeah. I'm going to take as many valuable life lessons from this as I can to make myself a better parent, a better husband, a better guitar player, a better human. Because I never understood my grandparents when I was a kid. You know, I was like, why are they like folding the Christmas wrapping paper, putting it in their drawer? Well, they lived through the Great Depression. Now I understand them a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
This has changed all of us. And hopefully we can all be a little bit better from it. And again, not close my eyes every night and say, oh, I forgot to do that. I'll do it tomorrow. Not sure about tomorrow anymore. I'm sure about right now.
And, you know, on that personal level, what's the adjustment been for you to be home now, you know, and not, you know, be on the road from, you know, right around now, mid-November or so through the end of the year? Have you kind of come to grips with, okay, I have a couple of months where I'm home where I'm usually not?
Well, my wife is ready to kill me. Because, you know, for like decades, you know, usually it's like by mid-October, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, and then I get home around New Year's Eve or whatever it is, and then whatever. Like right now, she's like, okay, stop cleaning the house, stop finger painting with the kids, go away. You know? Well, listen, everything's an adjustment.
Yeah.
I mean, you spend your life doing one thing, and then they take it away from you, and they be, meaning the pandemic, excuse me. It took me several months to kind of like get my head around what was going on. And once I did, so I'm just learning to enjoy every moment. I have a 9-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every day there's something going on. We're talking, we're doing crafts. You know, if I'm not practicing my guitar, I'm playing a lot of Disney songs on the piano with the kids, you know. These are things that I never, ever, ever would have had the time or the mental capacity to do because I'm constantly multitasking doing 1,000 other things.
Yeah.
You know, this is the first year I'll ever be under my own roof with my children for the holidays. So, yeah, I'll look at it a handful. And these are things that it's a one-shot deal for me.
Yeah.
Because next year, you know, we're planning on touring again. So I'm going to enjoy this year. Do I miss touring? Of course I miss touring, you know. But this is what the hand that we get all got dealt. So we're going to do an incredible show. And once that show's done, I'm going to go home and I'm going to be in my living room in front of my fireplace. You know, with my children and my wife, you know, whatever family can get here. And that's going to be first ever for me.
That's going to be awesome. You know, as somebody, like I said, who's been there every year since that Beacon show in 99, I'm really looking forward to this to kind of keep the streak and the holidays alive. Again, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the live stream is on December 18th. You can get tickets off the website. And I know you guys have a bunch of packages, too, with various merchandise, just like you'd pick up at a regular show. So, Al Petrelli, thank you so much. It's been so great talking to you. Have great holiday season. Best of luck on the 18th. And say hello to everyone for us.
My fellow listener, you know, much love to you and your family. Again, prayers, I hope everybody remains safe and healthy. You enjoy the holidays, And I can't wait to see you in person, and we'll have something different to talk about, a different version of a different conversation over TSL.
You got it, my friend. Have a great holiday season.
Bye, dude.
Yep. Bye.
You too now. Bye-bye. And thanks.